Welcome to Naomi's Table, a Bible-based program just for women where seasoned Naomis nurture young roots with real scriptural food for the spirit, encouraging and equipping your walk in biblical womanhood. Grab a Bible, pull up a chair, and invite your friends. There's plenty of room at Naomi's Table.
Welcome to the table, ladies. My name is Amy Spreeman, along with my co-hostess, Nancy LeMay. Hey, Nancy.
Hey.
Hey, today, ladies, we are going to start a brand new Bible study. I'm very excited. We're going to do 1 John, and we did that very early on when we first started Naomi's Table a couple of summers ago, but this is a different take on it, and a new Bible study teacher, Lori Williams. You may recognize her. She's in our Google Plus group. She's been on this program many times before, and she is going to be talking about 1 John and false and true conversion. So buckle in. It's going to be a great study. That'll be starting in a few minutes. We are also this week continuing our conversation that we just barely started last week about healthy bodies and a healthy biblical perspective of how to take care of ourselves, Nancy.
Yeah, and you know, good health is something that we do often take for granted until we start to lose it. And you've been sharing that.
Yeah.
You're feeling more and more aches and pains as the days go on, as you have moved to a new house and doing all the chores that have to do with that.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty creaky and thinking, what in the world happened? I must have aged at least 10 or 20 years just in the last few weeks. But you know what? It's starting to get better. But I have thought to myself, you know, there's so many issues facing us, whether it's, things that we inherit, DNA-wise from the world. We've got a fallen world, so we've also got a food supply rife with GMOs and all sorts of wonderful chemicals that we can't even pronounce, and they're wreaking havoc on our bodies as well. And then we've got basically old age. You know, our bodies were not meant to last forever. Our souls were. We are all eternal, but our bodies are not.
Yeah, we read this verse last time, Genesis 6:3, where the Lord says, "My spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. So our bodies are kind of cycling down, if you will. But you know what? We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God did design the human body so that it is really a finely tuned instrument, and it's really one of the most resilient on earth when you think of all our bodies can endure, all the fractures, all of the pain. You look at even, for instance, all the cures that they have come up with now using our own stem cells. Notice I did not say embryonic stem cells.
Yeah.
Those actually cause tumors. But when they take our very own stem cells, maybe from fat tissue, and they do something in the lab and inject them back in, these cells know exactly where to go to heal us. And I believe last I heard, and it was a growing number, they had a distinct 20 to 30 cures from using our own stem cells. So it is really miraculous how God made us. And, you know, he does have a lot to say in the Bible about our bodies and about health. And, of course, the first thing that you usually think of is all of the instructions that were given to Moses.
Yes.
All of those Mosaic health laws, the dietary restrictions, all of that. Well, the Wycliffe Bible Encyclopedia has actually said that all of those laws that were given to God by Moses actually have some pretty amazing rules pertaining to public health that address water and food contamination, sewage disposal, infectious diseases, health education. It even deals with mold infestations in your house.
Exactly. Now, we are not bound by those laws. Obviously, Jesus came to fulfill the old Mosaic law, and we did a whole Bible study in Romans, so don't get me wrong in what we're saying here. I'll go back and look at the archives. But the Bible does give us this foundational key to physical and mental health through being obedient to Christ and understanding that we are not supposed to forget Christ's teachings. And if you look at Proverbs, let's talk about that. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Now, he's not talking something about a word of faith kind of thing where you speak things into existence or you're never supposed to get sick or anything like that. We're talking about making wise decisions in this lifetime, you know, and keeping our bodies healthy because that's our, you know, one reason. It's a good witness.
Absolutely. And that is carried into the New Testament, by the way, when you look at 3 John verse 2, where he says, as he writes to someone, he says, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." So the health of our souls and the health of our bodies are tied together. Now, some of the verses that are in there are going to pertain directly to the Israelites, like, for instance, Exodus 15:26, where God says, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases or plagues I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." And they've actually done autopsies on Egyptian mummies from that time period, and they've found cancer. Mm-hmm. They found arterial sclerosis, arthritis, tuberculosis, gallstones, bladder stones, and all sorts of parasitic diseases and smallpox. So they had a lot of diseases because they didn't really understand the health principles that God had gave Moses, and those restrictions in those times were definitely a protection for them, but also to keep them separate and holy from the other nations.
You know, ladies, a lot of you have been commenting, and we asked last week for some comments to come in, and we're going to continue to gather those comments and share them this week about health concerns that you might have. It's a big topic, and it's one of the more popular ones that Nancy and I have talked about here at Naomi's Table. We always get a lot of feedback, and some of you have asked me, can you do one on vaccines, or can you do one on specific diseases that we deal with out there, you know, kind of the food supply type of thing? And yes, we can. We will talk about that. In the meantime, if you'd like to comment, we'd love to hear from you. Our email is connect@naomistable.com. And we also have our Google Plus group. We're going to be sharing heavily from that group in the days ahead. Google Plus, if you're not part of our community, check it out. You'll see all the guidelines and everything at naomistable.com. And then you can simply also go on our Facebook if you'd like to comment.
And you need to remember that God is really much more interested in our spiritual health than he is our physical health.
Yes.
And he's more concerned really with how much we eat than with what we eat, because our physical appetites are really tied to our ability to control ourselves. And remember, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. Philippians 3:20-21 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." So we got that going for us.
Yeah, exactly. There are so many great Bible verses that a lot of you have been sending me about physical health and how to have that healthy biblical perspective. You know, can we take essential oils? Can we take supplements? What should we do? Are those worldly things? How should Christians view those? We're going to go there. We are definitely going to do that. And many of you are suffering with things that are things you couldn't control, things that maybe genetically you inherited, disabilities, that kind of thing. Others of you, I've heard from people who have thyroid issues and Lyme's disease and all sorts of things that we deal with in our fallen world. And we are here to encourage one another and to point each other right back to the Word of God, to Jesus Christ. And of course, we like to pray for each other here as well. Again, I highly recommend that Naomi's Table G Plus group. If you haven't checked it out, please do so at naomistable.com. Any final thoughts as we wrap up this segment, Nancy?
Well, just that we should be good stewards of our body and take care of what God has given us with the knowledge that he gives us and with all we learn from the technology today. But we have to remember, he is the one who heals us. He is the one who keeps us healthy. It's not the supplements. He's the one that makes the supplements work in us if we take supplements. So,
yes, amen. All right. Well, right now what we're going to do, and again, we're still gathering comments, so we're going to continue this conversation over the next few days, but we have a brand new Bible study, and I hope you've invited people to join us. It's in 1 John, and we're going to be introducing a new Bible study teacher today. She's not new to the table, though, Lori Williams, and her overview of 1 John starts right now.
It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome, ladies. I'm so glad that you've joined us for our new study in the book of 1 John. This book is so wonderful for us to be studying right now in the time that we're living in. So many people are asking, how do we know if someone's a Christian? How do we know if I belong to the faith? How do I know about eternal security? How do I have assurance? These are great questions that we need to be studying, and I'm so excited to go through this book with you and to share the tests that are in 1 John that we can line ourselves up against to make sure that we really are in the faith. What better of a question to ask than, where am I going when I die? How do I get there? How do I know I'm going there? These are questions that pretty much plague every one of us. We all want to know what's going to happen when I die, and how do I know where I'm going, and who is it that can make a way for me to get to heaven? That is a crucial question that we need to be asking ourselves. And once someone is saved and professes faith in Christ, along the way, we will have trials and we will have stumbles in the faith that we just want to make sure, are we really soundly saved, and was my conversion real? Was it true? Am I just professing but not possessing? How do I know I'm not a false convert? This is very normal to ask these questions, and I pray that as you do ask those of yourselves and others, that this book would challenge you to go through the test and to make sure that you are in the faith. And I think the tests here in 1 John are really going to help us come to that answer. And so I've entitled this first lesson, What is 1 John All About? This is going to be an introductory and kind of an overview of the book so that we can get to know kind of what's been going on. Why did John write this book? What is it in here that he is trying to convey to us, and why is it so crucial that we understand it? The book of 1 John is pretty much kind of like Christianity 101. It's a let's get back to the basics. Here's what it means to be in the faith. Here's what it looks like to be a Christian. Now apply it. And it's just such a great book for us to dive into now, especially in light of what's going on in the world and all the false teaching and the false teachers that we see. It's becoming so commonplace, and everyone is naming the name of Christ, but how do we know who's in and who's out? And that's what this book is going to tell us, ladies. It's going to help us go through this and to be able to make sure that we're in the faith and not as one of these people that is referred to in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Let me read that for you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That is a fearful verse, and it's hard to hear that, but we don't want to be those people when we, at the day of judgment, and we see the Lord, and we're the one saying, but Lord, Lord, I did this, and I did that. Aren't I saved? Aren't I in the kingdom? We don't want to be those people that are basing our works on our salvation, solely on that. Yes, faith without works is dead. That is true, and our works will go in tandem with what's going on inside of us. But these people in this verse, they are talking about teaching and preaching in the name of Christ, but they were inwardly, they were never regenerated. They were doing different things in order to gain the Lord's approval. And we don't want to be those people. So that's why it's so critical for us to go through 1 John and to see who really is in the faith. So whenever we look at 2 Corinthians 13:5, it is a good verse for us to kind of start off with as we start diving into 1 John, so we have some context. It says, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? So we don't want to fail the test, but what is the test? Well, 1 John is going to lay it out for us. There's many tests we're going to go through, and we're going to see what it really looks like to be a true Christian. Like I said, the topic of true and false conversion is one that is at the heart of many. And so this book really exists so that we can line ourselves up to it and we can see who's in, who's out. And the verses in 1 John 2, 3 through 4 says, by this we know that we have come to know him. If we keep his commandments, the one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. So that's just really interesting as we hear that, because it's going to tell us who's in and who's out, essentially. He says right there, if we keep his commandments, then we know him. If we don't keep his commandments, we're a liar and the truth is not in us. So as we go through 1 John, we're going to look at some of those things, such as that very test, and see, are we keeping his commandments? Are we lining ourselves up to scripture and showing ourselves approved? And I want to just kind of give some context of what was going on when 1 John was written. There was a rise in Gnosticism, and it was rampant at the time that John wrote this. People were wanting to be more inclusive and just let anyone into the church. Does that sound familiar, ladies? So he wanted to give a very direct approach to guard the flocks. And this book is written as to be able to speak the truth in love. John wanted us to know the truth, but he wanted us also to know about how to deliver that. You know, we don't want to just be very dogmatic in our approach and be very hard-hearted whenever we think someone isn't in the faith. That is not what Christ is telling us at all, and it's not what John is trying to convey here. He's wanting to give us a measuring stick, the Word of God, so that we know what it looks like to be a Christian. And so when he was writing this, the state of the church, you know, like I said, it was agnosticism and all of that was going on. And so in 1 John 5:19, I know it's towards the end of the book, but it kind of gives you the context of what all was going on there. He says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, or in the wicked one. So how much truth does that apply to our life today? There's so much wickedness going on all around us. And it just seems to be that everywhere we look, everyone is calling good evil and evil good. And it's just not what we want to see in the world out of professing Christians. So this book is going to help us with that. It's going to help us see, you know, like it was in John's day, who these professors were, but not really possessing. It was written to the Ephesians at the church in Ephesus, but it's also a reminder for all of us. And, you know, Paul had even predicted this back in Acts 28 through 31. He says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among you own selves men will rise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on alert. Remember that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And, you know, if Paul was already saying that back in Acts, and then here we get to 1 John, which was actually written between 80 and 90 AD, later in John's life, you know, there was a lot going on at that time to where Paul was predicting it, John was warning about it, and the same is true for us today. We see wickedness in our own world, and we need to be warned, and we need to be warning others of the danger that is going on. So this book is going to tell us plainly what a Christian looks like, lovingly but firmly. It's also described in a polemic way, meaning that it's not just positive, but it's negative as well. There's three constant repetitious themes that are running through this book. The first one being joy, the second one being holiness, and the third one being security. When you have obedience, sound faith, and love operating, They result in joy, holiness, and security. That is in the life of someone who is a believer. That's what constitutes their life. And in 1 John 3, verses 23, it says, "This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us." So we are to be having a spirit of joy. We ought to be growing in holiness. And from there, we will produce security. And that is some of the running themes in this book. It's going to be how we need to speak the truth in love, how it looks in the light of a Christian's life whenever they have joy, holiness, and security operating within them. This is going to be very, very critical to how we proceed in the coming days as a Christian. Once we learn what it looks like to be a true Christian, we will be able to spot the fakes. And so that's why this book is so important, and I can't wait to go through it. And I just hope that we all learn how to line ourselves up against Scripture and to see that we really are in the faith. So I look forward to this journey with you. And if you want to find the notes for this Bible study, they're going to be under the tab labeled, "What is 1 John All About?" under the Bible Study tab on Naomi's Table.
All right, well, that was our study of 1 John, lesson number one from Lori Williams, and a wonderful take because of her background, Nancy. She and her husband, Vincent, have falsified ministries, and they help people who have been false converts recognize the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It's an excellent ministry. We've got it linked up on our website today at naomistable.com. Great overview, especially for the times that we are in.
Oh, absolutely. She talked about being self-deluded into thinking that we're saved when we're really not. And, of course, we know the verses, Matthew 7:21, that she quoted about, well, but Lord, Lord, yeah, I did all these wonderful things in your name. And he's going to look at them and say, but I never knew you. And I think that there is so much of that in churches, and it's not particular to any one denomination. I think there are people in every denomination that this is going to affect. And you look at how it happens. We go to these youth concerts and, you know, of course, in their eagerness, the speaker wants to get as many of those kids saved as they can. So they give some emotional appeal and lead them through a sinner's prayer, but they never have the kid really look at their own sins, acknowledge them as sins, repent of those sins, turning away from them, looking at them as abhorrent as God sees them.
You know, Nancy, I didn't have a sinner's prayer, even that. I didn't have that, but I was a false convert way back in the day. And I just remember thinking, well, I've got my religion now. Mm. And I know the rituals. I know the practices. It's beautiful tradition. And I'm in the club. And I truly thought that. That was my mindset at the time. And it was when I heard the true gospel being taught at a Bible study that I was invited to, and I had my own Bible for the first time, too. I opened it up, and I read, studied it for myself, and I realized, oh, no, I don't know this at all. I don't know any of this. Why didn't anyone tell me? Mm. And maybe they did, and maybe I wasn't listening, but really, when I was looking at all of the things that I was learning about, none of it was biblical Christianity. It was very, very sad, but I'm so thankful to women who invited me to enjoy the truth of God's Word. And so I'll be forever, eternally grateful to them.
You know, it's easy to happen to confuse church with God. And I know someone, a dear friend, who had that happen, spent all of her adult life in church and, you know, thought that was God, that serving God, all of that. And the church ended up hurting her. So now she is angry at God and turned away from him, pretty much worshiping at the Church of Oprah, and with all that that entails, including what Lori referred to as calling evil good and good evil, you know, wanting to be all-inclusive in the church and say that things that are clearly sins in the Bible are not, you know, because because after all, God's just love, right? But the thing is that you have a guest on the other show you do, Stand Up for the Truth, mm-hmm. Dave Wager. And Dave Wager frequently points out, if you're angry at God, you don't really know
right.
him.
Right.
That you don't know his character. You don't really know him if you are ever resentful, bitter, or angry with him.
You know what I find just incredible as we go through each of these Bible studies, and Lori's going to be doing a great job of this. I'm really excited about this study. Is even back in the day when they heard Jesus' own voice and his own account of who God is, the character, and they saw him rise from the dead, even so, there were people back in the first century who brought in false, destructive heresies. And, you know, we're hearing about Gnosticism that, you know, in 1 John, we're hearing about all sorts of gospels that are very different from the ones that they were taught in the beginning. And I'd go back to Jude, you know, the book of Jude in first one, the judgment on false teachers, talking about in the last day, predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. There will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. Mm. And it is those people who cause divisions, not the people, by the way, who are trying to warn the flock. So just something to think about because we're seeing these last days unfold before our very eyes.
And if you don't have a foundation of truth to stand on, then how do you know what is truth and what isn't?
Exactly.
So that's why I love these verses that we're going to end with today in Romans chapter 1. And, oh boy, does it really describe what's going on today. Starting at verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them."
Oh, thank you for reading that, Nancy, from the book of Romans. Ladies, tomorrow we are still continuing to do our program on this fallen world, and you're going to hear a wonderful lesson, too, from Lori Williams in the book of 1 John, and we look forward to sharing your comments, as we said in the beginning of this program. Check it out, naomistable.com. Until then, have a blessed day in the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today at Naomi's Table. We encourage you to head over to naomistable.com for resources, articles, Bible study guides, and much more. Until next time, be equipped and encouraged in God's Word.